under the direction of the Holy Ghost. Now we all are familiar with this topic, but I don't think that we have given it the preeminence we need to. And this is this thing called praying in tongues. Amen?
Yes.
And so I want to go to the word again fresh about why was this gift given to the body, and let us examine the early church and see how men, they use it for their advantage. And not only to their advantage, but for the advancing of the early church and the kingdom of God. And so we have so gotten familiar with it. We committed the sin of familiarity when it comes to the Holy Ghost, because he gave us this language for a reason. And so we all know, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:2. Kristen, why don't you come up on front? Is anybody going to sit by you, Stacy? But 1 Corinthians 14, and the very familiar verse, and I brought my King James with me because I want to read it from there. Then I'll read it from the AMPC. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speak mysteries. So and then in the AMPC version, Amplified Classic, it says, it's 12. My Bible flipped back over to 12, okay. 1 Corinthians 14:2, the Amplified Classic. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truth and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Now, I want to go back to when Jesus was one of the times in the gospel he mentioned about tongues. And I'm going to read from Rick Renner, Sparkling Gem, page 478. July 9th, and it says, they shall speak with new tongues, because I think he so expressed what was in my heart, and I didn't have words for as I was studying this, so I'm going to read it. He said, regardless of the denomination, they shall speak with new tongues, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they cast out devils. My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, Mark 16:17. Now, let me read this to you. Listen carefully to this. Regardless of the denomination to which you belong or what you have been taught to believe, it is an irrefutable fact that Jesus said believers would speak with new tongues. In fact, Jesus affirmed that speaking in new tongues would be one of the supernatural signs that will follow believers. The first example of speaking in tongues is found in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, where the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Of all the instances where people spoke in tongues in the book of Acts, this is the most famous example, perhaps because it was the first time this phenomenon ever occurred, and thus set the pattern. It set the pattern for believers to be filled with the Spirit and to speak in tongues. But this instance is very unique from any other instance recorded in the book of Acts. For several miracles occurred that day when believers spoke in tongues for the first time. Mm-hmm. There is so much we could write about speaking in tongues. After all, entire books have been written and devoted to this wonderful subject. But today, let's look at the specific event that occurred the first time people ever spoke in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 5 and 6, tell us a multitude was gathered in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. The word multitude is the Greek word plethos, which is used no less than 25 times in the gospel to denote a massive, huge crowd of people. This is very important, for it tells us that far more foreigners were in the crowd than were believers who had been filled with the Spirit. Acts 2, verses 9 through 11, tells us that in the crowd that day were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts and parts of Libya near Cyrene, strangers from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, and both Cretes and Arabians. The believers who had just been filled with the Spirit were speaking in tongues so loudly as they excited the upper room, as they exited the upper room and entered the streets, that the entire crowd could hear them speaking. The crowd was amazed at what they were hearing. Acts 2:6 says they were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. Now, the word confounded is the Greek word sancheo, which means to perplex, to stun, to bewilder, to baffle, to stupefy, to amaze, to confound, or to cause an astonishment that literally throws people in a state of confusion. The word heard is the Greek word akouo, which simply means to hear. The word speak, now listen closely, is the word lalutan, which means to speak, but watch this. But the Greek tense presents the picture of people continuously speaking in tongues. Mm. Now that's where we're missing it. In fact, the Greek word for speak is the same word used to describe someone who speaks fluently in his own or some other language. Now make note of that, because that is our language. Okay, I'll come back to that. This clearly shows us that believers were speaking nonstop in tongues as they entered the streets that day. Nonstop. But notice the end of Acts 2:6, where it says, every man heard them speak in his own language. The word language is the Greek word dialectos, which is where we get our word dialect. This means the believer were not heard speaking only in different languages, but with all the specific dialects. Now, you know it had to be supernatural. Mm-hmm. Idioms, phrases, vernacular, and regional accents that were used in each geographical location from which the listeners came. Consider this. There were only 120 believers speaking in tongues, and this was a massive crowd of people. So that means this small group of 120 believers must have been speaking in hundreds of different dialects. To know a language is one thing, but to know the different dialects of another language requires years of study and the highest skill. This would be amazing for a group of highly educated language specialists, for a group of Galileans to speak so fluently in so many different dialects was simply unheard of. Thus, the reason the listening crowd was so baffled and stunned. Acts 2:7 let us know that the majority of the believers who came out of the upper room speaking in tongues that day were Galileans. Now listen to why this is such a phenomenon. Given further cause for the international crowd to be so confounded, Galileans were simple people, not known for their education or wealth. Their labor, work, profession, and way of life were all primarily connected to the region of Galilee. So they had no reason to know many foreign languages. This is why the people reacted the way they did in Acts 2:7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak are Galileans? In other words, it was supernatural. So listen to this. In Acts 2:7, the word amazed is the Greek word existema, which means to be beside oneself or to be out of one's head. It is the picture of one who is so stunned and amazed that he stands speechless, nearly paralyzed with shock. The word marvel is the Greek word thaumazo, which means to wonder or to stand in awe of. In our day, we might define it as one who is bowled over by something he has heard, witnessed, or seen. There is no doubt that the crowd that day was perplexed as they listened to these Galileans speaking in so many different languages and specific dialects. But were the disciples supernaturally speaking in known languages that day? Watch this. Some have tried to categorically state that those who came out from the upper room that day supernaturally spoke in known human languages. But Paul specifically wrote that speaking in tongue is not speaking in a known language. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, Paul said, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him." That word unknown is italicized in the King James Version because it doesn't appear in the Greek text, in the original text. It was supplied by the translator to affirm that Paul was not referring to a known human language. He was writing about a supernatural prayer language that is known only to God. And that's why we have to start speaking anymore, so we can speak to God, so we can dig up the mysteries that only God can give. He wants to unfold secret truths to us. According to Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 13 through 15, speaking in tongues is a supernatural language, never a known language. It is so supernatural and unknown to man that it cannot be understood, not even by the speaker himself, unless he prays for an ability to interpret what he is saying. Since this is Paul's very clear teaching about speaking in tongues, it emphatically asserts that on the day of Pentecost, the believers did not speak in known human languages, but in a supernatural, unknown prayer language, just as believers speak in tongues today. However, on the day of Pentecost, a special miracle occurred. The believers spoke in tongues, but by the time that supernatural language reached the ears of the listeners, they heard a message in their own distinct dialect. This is why Acts 2:6 says that every man heard them speak in his own language. And Acts 2:8 says, "And how hear we every man in our own language, wherein we were," "wherein we were born." And Acts 2:11 tells us that the listener said, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." We hear the miracles of God. That word "wonderful works" is miraculous. Yeah. On the day of Pentecost, the first great work of God was to be filled for believers with the Holy Ghost. That was the first great working of the Holy Ghost, of God, in to fill us with the Holy Ghost. The second great work was to liberate their human spirit so they could pray in tongues and worship God in the spirit. The third great work occurred when the believers spoke in other tongues and God supernaturally translated those tongues in the ears of the listeners so that each member of the audience heard them speaking in his or her own language. It is amazing what happened when God's people opened up to let him work through them. When the believers in the book of Acts were filled with the Spirit and began to regularly speak in tongues, a door to the supernatural power was open. The power unleashed through speaking in tongues is evident throughout the book of Acts, and it's still in operation today. There are several instances in the book of Acts where believers prayed and worshiped God in tongues, and we're going to look at them today. Because, see, speaking in tongues is not just when you come in, "Oh, praise the Lord, blah, 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 blah." Oh, you know. But no, this should be a way of life for us. No, because, if I give this analogy all the time, but I think it's a great one. Because to me, Russian language is not an easy language. So if I move to Russia next week, it's going to be hard for me to function and get around in that country. Because I don't know the language. Don't even think about the dialect and the idioms. Don't even go there. Exactly. So I'm going to be pretty much functionless for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I can learn that language. If I had to, I could. Don't be telling me, oh, yes, you could by faith. I know what I'm, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. But so I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to give, get back over here and give this language of heaven the preeminence that it deserves. And change your life and change the lives of those around you and thus change your city, your state, and your nation. Okay, this was, listen, he said, there are some instances in the book of Acts where believers pray and worship God in tongues. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. This was the norm. Not the exception. We have been over here on the exception side of speaking in tongues as opposed to the norm of way of conducting our prayer lives in ourselves, period. He said it was not the exception, a common practice that was expected to occur in the life of any person who was filled with the Spirit. And just as the early believers freely and fluently prayed in the Spirit, God has enabled us to do the same. If we will but open our hearts and open our mouths and let our spirit speak to God. So you see here, did that help you to, you know, renew your mind to what advantage we have in our arsenal?
Yes, yes.
So now I want to go back and read this dream that Miss Billy had. Because I so think it's so apropos to where we are in God. So Miss Billy was caught in a storm in Kansas City back in 2007. She told this at the ministers' conference in 2008. Excuse me. And So let me read some excerpts here. So she said she was in Kansas City in a hotel for 3 days because she was caught in a storm. In the dream, there was a wide open grassy field, and on the field there was a large congregation of people. Two people stood out in the dream. One figure was a man who was the spiritual leader, a pastor type. The other was another man. Evil authority was after the other man. The other man was dressed in a checkered shirt that was buttoned down and buttoned at the collar and reminded me somehow how someone that might have been dressed at the turn of the century, in the 20th century. Then I saw a book. The man was sought after by the evil authorities because he had written the book. And then, using computer language, the book filled the whole window of my dream. And it was open to the title page. And on one side, it was like in black ink. I didn't read it because I didn't focus on it because I focused on the cross page. The left side, which had the name, the one word, title, in huge letters. Those huge letters were filled up off the page in box relief, and they were gold, solid gold. And she said, and so my focus went to that one first letter, and I focused on it, and I thought it was the Hebrew word, the letter tet. But I then saw that it was a very stylized T. And I saw the T, and when I saw the T, then the whole word came up off the page. And it not only came up off the page, it went across my dream. It could have gone around the world. And the word was tongues. T-O-N-G-U-E-S. I knew that the goal spoke of their value. And I knew that the way they stretched spoke of their expanse. I woke up and the Holy Spirit spoke immediately in that strong, authoritative voice. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speak mysteries. Then there came across my mind a series of attacks that have come against the church. A series of attacks. Like, you know, she told about the attacks in the church in China, the underground church. Mm-hmm. Then went across my mind the attacks on ministries all across the country and across the world and on ministers, physical attacks, health attacks, financial attacks, media attacks. And I saw something. I saw that they were orchestrated by the head of the kingdom of darkness, Satan himself. I saw that they were designed to hit all at once, as terrorists like to hit various locations at one time. Then I heard the attack is against your power.
God, Jesus.
He is afraid of your power. He's afraid of your power, Shirley. And then I heard, your power is the way out.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Then I heard Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What was the initial evidence of that power coming upon them? They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If the attack is against our power, then we are to increase the use of our power. And I knew that I personally was to increase my praying in tongues. For after all, I know to speak in an unknown tongue is to rearrange things.
Hallelujah.
Things got to be rearranged.
Yes.
And we don't have any understanding how to rearrange it. We got to get it out of the unseen realm into the seen realm. And you do that by speaking in this thing called tongues.
My God.
Not playing around with it. Not just having a first grade education in it. But become fluent in this language of heaven. And I can rearrange them far higher than my mental words know to arrange them. For in these days, people say, how do we pray about Israel? How do we pray about this? How do we pray about that? How do we pray about abortion? How do we pray about the nation now? How do we pray about the government? How do we pray about America? How do we pray about homosexuality? How do we pray about whatever? Well, God has given us such a weapon of our in our arsenal that no power of hell can stand against.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me tell you something about this power of God. This power of God, Rick Renner, I forgot to bring that, but he said that word kratos is supposed to be demonstrative. When the power of God show up, you're supposed to know it. It's the same word when it showed up and it had the earthquake at the grave when Jesus was raised. That's how it's supposed to show up. It's very demonstrative.
Yes, it is.
And it's, no, guess what? It's been lying dormant right in here because you won't open your mouth to release it.
Oh, Jesus.
The Holy Spirit is beseeching us. He's begging us to come on over in the spirit and begin to release this language of heaven to begin to go back to the power source. We're trying to do it by might. But it's not by might and your own power. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we know this scripture is very familiar with us prayers. You know, the affection, fervent prayer of a righteous man make tremendous power available. Why ain't no power available, you think? Why you think the power has gone down? Maybe because you stopped praying in the Holy Ghost. If that was the initial evidence of your power, it would be indicative of the more you prayed that way, the more the power would increase. But no, we just sit around with our mouths shut. Except for when you want to tell me what's on the news. I don't want to know what the news media is saying. I want to know what the Holy Ghost is saying. What did he tell you about it? And I want it out of this place called in your spirit, out of your belly, not out of your head.
My God.
So he's afraid of our power. So then you can see how we can be deceived into not speaking in the Holy Ghost. We trying to, you know, trying to get power, manufacture. He teach us into manufacturing some power. You know, you try to manufacture it. He teach us into manufacturing a miracle, Shirley, rather than getting what the real power is. He's okay with you. It's okay, honey. Mm-hmm. As long as you pray in God, but you know, because he don't want you to pray in that language. Jesus. Because that's what part of the process that God laid out for the works of the Holy Spirit to be perpetual in the earth. In Acts. Chapter 1. Verse 1. In the former account, which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, special messengers. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations. Now, series. Now, note that word series. You know, it's not an unfamiliar word in our day because they have tons of them on television. And we are caught up in them. And we get addicted to them. When we see season one, we got to see season two. And then we got to see episode one. We got to see episode two, episode three. But yeah, but let's, what about some series of convincing demonstration? How are we going to get those? Speaking in other tongues. Let's get a series. Not just let's have a miracle here and there. The Bible says there was a series of them. A convincing demonstration. And listen to this. Unquestionable evidence.
Hallelujah.
And infallible proofs. Let your series on NBC go. HBO go. UTA go. Whatever it is. And let's create some series of the kingdom. Amen. Continuous miracles. Hallelujah. Continuous healing. You know, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Tongue interpretation and prophecy. That's what this did for the early church. And that was their way out. And I want to tell you, my friends, this is our way out. Amen. A series. You need to say that one, right?
Yeah.
And so then Jesus gave them a charge in Acts chapter 1:14. Actually, Acts chapter 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. This is where he said, if you wait on me, you're going to receive some power. And all of these were there, and they did what he said. They did. Now, all of them did. Now, we know there were about 500 invited to, but only 120 did what he said. But I bless God, he used that 120 people. He said they were with their minds in full agreement, devoted themselves steadfastly. No, it wasn't just a casual thing. It was a decision. And they were steadfast about it because they knew that their flesh and their mind would pull on them. You know, they didn't have a television to go watch a series, but there was something pulling on them then, just like it pulled on us now. But the Bible said they were steadfastly. They were devoted, and they were fervent about this. Waiting together with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, Acts chapter 2, very familiar. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent temper blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And it goes on to tell about the tongues and what happened and what Rick really explained. And then, after that, the power was unleashed. And then Peter began to speak. Look at utterance was opened up. But I want us to look closely at this power, that what happened when the power was unleashed. And this prayer kicked off, this thing called prayer. Now, one time I was teaching along these lines. I've told this before, but it bears repeating. I was teaching, going to go travel and teach along these lines. And I was reading down through here. And the Lord said to me, he asked me a question. He said, how do you think they were praying? I thought, I knew. Because before studying those scriptures, preaching for those scriptures, it never hit me that they were speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. So the Lord, because I was gonna preach on speaking in tongues that night, so he asked me the question, how do you think they were praying? And the light came on. I said, oh God, they were praying in tongues. And he said, my people fall short right here. They won't use the language I gave them. And they said, will you agree with me? Because I'm not sure, is it me or the Lord? If you do this enough, you'll know. Will you agree with me? Because this. Now, we agree with you, but whatever happened to you, you speak in other tongues. And dig on until it comes up, go down straight street. You know. Go down to Joppa. So this power, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man makes you. Let me just read it out of the Amplified, AMPC. James. It's a very familiar scripture. See, is that the way you want me to go with that? Yeah, let's go that way with it. Let's talk about the power. What happens with the power. James 5:16, the second part, very familiar. The Amplified Classic says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. Now, I want to read this from the King James because I want to point out something that I learned from a preacher named Dr. James Richard. I got this from him, and I took it because I went and researched after him and found out it was true. James 5, okay. It says, that's Ephesians 5. No wonder it's not working. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word effectual is means like a working. A working, and availeth is mean like a power. What's my cell phone? Okay, I got it. But it means that it's a continue, that it's a working, that it says, now Lynn Hammond says this, she studied it out, that word effectual is one of the big energy words of the Bible. In other words, once this power is released, it's a continual working. It's like release this divine energy of the Spirit. And so it says, Amplified says, make tremendous power available. And it goes on to say, so I was in the Carolinas preaching on this, my early years of preaching. And I always preach from most of the time James 5:16, because at that time, I was just starting. So, I was in the Carolinas and I was preparing to go preach that night. And the Lord said, well, you never read verse 17. You just always stop at 16. So I read 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and pray and earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Power, authority. He's, remember over there, he said, it ain't going to rain till I say so. Then he said, now when he says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. So he had the power to start something and the power to stop something. There's some things that got to be stopped, but there are some things that need to be started. And you don't know what they are because you won't even use your language to get your vocabulary fluent so you can get it out there. You can sit there and study the scriptures all you want to. You'll never find it if you're not exercising this. Now, I'm a word person. I'm preaching the word to you right now. And the word is first place in my life. But I'm telling you, if you don't have this element with it, it's going to be nothing. Oh, my Jesus. And don't start to try to pray this without the word. So he said, you don't go and read 17. And I thought, wow, Elijah's prayed that it wouldn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. Power. Authority. So the word power, you know, it's the word, we say dunamis, and it is. But if you go back and study that word out and go trace it back to its origin, it's the word. Now, dunamis is like dynamite, but then the origin of it is dynamo. Which the difference is in a dynamo versus a dynamite gives off an inherent charge and it's over. It blows up and it's over. But a dynamo, it has the ability to get off an inherent power and inherit power but not lose its charge. In other words, once it released, it's still working. This is the kind of power that's released in prayer. When you release word, it's a Roma Shakada. It's the same way when the Lord did the creation. When he said, let there be a tree, he didn't have to say, let it be a pine tree. Oh, now let me think. Let there be an apple tree. Let there be a myrtle tree. Let there be a mulberry tree. Let there be a spruce tree. No. The power in that word, the dynamo, the continuum of that, all he had to do was say, let there be a tree. Those words released. They now produce and still producing trees. All right. You have to say, but one tree. And guess what? That it was so much power in it. It know what trees on what part of the earth will survive in what area. God has all the details. Organizing principle in the word of God. But there are words yet to be released. There are strategies yet to be released. And God is wanting us to release his power to start things and to stop things. This power that was released in the book of Acts brought about the outpouring that was prophesied about in Joel. I want to go back to Acts 2 now. Let's keep reading down through Acts 2. You know, Peter was standing. He had such utterance that power hit him. He began to preach because that release, speaking in tongues, brought about such utterance. He was preaching to him. And he said in verse 16, he said, for these men are not drunk as you imagine, for it's only the third hour, about 9 a.m. But instead, this is the beginning of what? This is the beginning of it. It wasn't the end of speaking in tongues. It was the beginning of it. This is the beginning of what was spoken by and through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass at last. See, I've been listening to Brother Hagin. It shall come to pass in the last days. God declares that I will pour out, now watch this, of my spirit. This power is going to come out of something. He didn't say, I'm going to pour my spirit down. He said, I'm going to pour out of. That little preposition made all the difference. Pay attention to the word when you're studying it. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. I'm going to pour out of something. I got to have some humans to pour out of. I want to pour out of my spirit, and I'm going to pour it out on all flesh. He said, I'm going to pour out of it, out of my spirit, upon all mankind. He didn't just say upon the church. We sitting around wanting him to pour out something upon us. But see, we don't have anything for him to pour out, because he said you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you're supposed to be continuously speaking in the Holy Ghost, but then you stop. Now you have short-circuited or clogged the power channel. Because he said, I want to pour it out of my spirit. He's going to pour it out on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young man shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams. Yes, on my men servants also, and on my maid servants in those days. And these days are those days. We are in those days. These days are those days. The Holy Ghost is saying, let me out of here. Let me out of here. I want to pour out my power on mankind and show them who God is. And show them who you are, for that matter. And he says it again. In those days I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and they shall, tell divine secrets. And it just keep going. What this phenomenon will do. What this praying in tongues going to do. What the initial evidence of this power will do. And after you get to praying like this in the Holy Ghost, and you begin to build yourself up on your most holy faith, you begin to build this superstructure. You begin to build this edifice that you begin to pray. And then you begin to enlarge your capacity there for the releasing and unveiling, unfolding of the power of God. And you begin to see God change and rearrange things around you. You begin to see the miracles that we all been waiting for. You begin to see the signs and the wonders and the power of God released on mankind.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. We're going to look here in Acts where there were people corporately gathered and this praying in the Holy Ghost. What is such manifestation? The Bible says, while they were speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them all. Got to the point. It was so manifested. It was so supernatural that while yet Peter or whoever was speaking, he fell on them.
Amen.
So let's go look at. Yeah, let's go look at that. Then we'll pray. I'll go back and look at the different, all the different occurrences where the power of God, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, was at work. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. So, here, this is an account of Cornelius. Peter, God had given him a vision. He said, I won't eat anything unclean. You know what happened, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. So, I'll read at verse. I just restarted third. I may skip about. And Cornelius said, this is now the fourth day since about this time I was observing at 9 o'clock. So, they're confirming. In other words, what time was it when God said that to you? That's the same time God said this to me. You know how that happened? This is what's happening here. Yeah. So he's telling in verse 31, when he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and hearkened to, and your donations to the poor have been known and perceived before God, so that he's and is about to help you. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, whose surname Peter. He is standing in the house of Simon the tanner by the seaside. So at once I sent for you, and you, being a Jew, have done a kind and courteous and handsome thing in coming. Now then, we are all present in the sight of God to listen to all that you have been instructed by the Lord to do. And Peter opened his mouth and said, most certainly and thoroughly now I perceive and understand that God shows no partiality. It's no respect of person. Look at all his power. Look how it's working. But in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him. You know the contents of the message which he said to Israel, announcing the good news of the gospel of peace by Jesus Christ, the same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting with from Galilee after the baptism preached by John. How that God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good, in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnessing of everything that he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And yet they put him out of the way, murdered him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him to life on the third day and caused him to be manifest, not by all the people, but to us who were chosen, designated beforehand by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. See that utterance and come back on Peter. Now he's preaching now. And he charged us to preach to the people and to bear solemn testimony that he is the God appointed and God ordained judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets testified that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message, and the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were surprised and amazed because the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely on the Gentile, for they heard them talking in unknown tongues and languages, extolling and magnifying God. The phenomenal hit, they all began to speak in tongues. It was a way of life. If it wasn't, they weren't doing it, they would ask the question. Let's go to verse chapter 19. Because it was the way of life. I used to think, I didn't know why I thought it, but the Holy Ghost said, how were they praying? I'm telling you, when it said that the power shook the church and everything, there was a shaking in Acts chapter 4. I'm telling you, it was by praying in unknown tongues. And it said the place where they were shaken, they was over there in the spirit because they had prayed in unknown tongues. They got out among their heads. And you know, yeah, it brought them higher. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, while Paul was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and come down to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is the Holy Spirit. And he asked, into what baptism then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, continued telling the people that they should believe in the one who was come after him. And then it says, but trust and having a conviction of sin, and he is Christ. On hearing this, they were baptized again, this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Ha! Not only did they speak in tongues, they prophesied what they spoke. My God. This is kind of how that power, it was at work. It was the work of the Holy Ghost because they gave themselves to praying in unknown tongues, praying in other tongues. They gave themselves to it. And that's how Paul asked him. He got there. He said, what the heck? Nobody's praying in tongues here. They got to know about this because this is where the power source is. So he laid his hand on them, and they got filled. And the Bible said they spoke and prophesied. And it caused the advancing of the church. The early church advanced this way. And I could, you know, how Paul, that it moved over in Acts chapter 5 when Elymas tried to stop the proconsul from getting born again. And Paul said, came up there and he confronted him because that power was fierce. It was at work. And he said, you're trying to stop this man from being saved, pretty much. And he said, you're going to be blind for a few days. Just know that. You're going to be blind for a few days. because there was so much power. The Bible says that they didn't play with this. They said they didn't dare join them because it was fierce because they were praying in this language. And you know when the earthquake hit the jail with Paul and Silas? I need say any more about that, right? That was that power unleashed. And you know when the angel came to Peter, the church was over at the house there praying, power was made available. And that power was like a heat-seeking missile. Yes. Yeah. Gave the angels the charge to go to the prison and get Peter out. And that power was demonstrative. When it got to Peter, the angel didn't say, "Go untie your buckles." It just fell off. When he got to the gate, it didn't say he opened the gate. It said the gate opened on his own accord. Why? The power was at work. Jesus. If the power knows to go to the prison and get Peter, it knows to open the gate up. See, we be trying to figure it out because we don't stay over in the spirit long enough. We don't pray in the Holy Ghost long enough. We may end up getting the first step, but we don't know step two, so we make up something. My then we God. Jack the plan up.
My God.
But see, when you get over in the spirit like this, you know that power as God, as we can say, God is God by himself. He don't need your help. He knows the shackles on Peter's feet. He knows that he's in the uttermost part of the prison. That power, you cannot stop it. Once you get over in the spirit, you can't stop it. It'll carry out every detail of the plan of God. Because I hear people now, and okay, you need to pray about this, and then why pray about this? Leave me alone. Let me pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you're in your head. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Shirley? But you know, people come. They come. Now, you know 1 Corinthians 14 says, if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray, but my mind is unproductive. Everybody say, good!
Good!
Tired of the head prayers.
Right.
Christian people, you know, they always got a solution, but they don't have anything working in their life. They got 100 scriptures they want to give you. They do. Oh, you know, and you need to read this scripture and this scripture. Now, excuse me. Head. And they don't have anything working, Shirley. You know.
My God.
And they want to come give you 100 scriptures. And if they were, if it was some power in them, I wouldn't be tired when you get through.
Right.
I'm wore out.
That's right.
I'm like, dear Lord, can't they see? I can see they're distressing their face from it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Rather than getting over in this, so I'll just give you one example, and I love this example because it so demonstrates what God's saying. Mm-hmm. I have many, but I'm gonna give you one for time because I want us to pray. So. The same message on tongues, not this same exact way, but I was going to Tennessee several years ago, and the Lord had told me to preach on speaking in tongues. I said, okay. And I had been preparing. So I, you know, went to the airport. I just felt that day, I need to pray Psalms 91. So I got my iPad out, put up my invisible walls, and drowned everything out. Didn't hear nothing around me until they said it was time for us to board. So reading Psalms 91 over and over again. And you know, those that know me know that's pretty tough for me because I'm distracted by everything, especially in places like that. But I would just focus. So I got on the plane, we boarded, and we were sitting there, and this is the day, okay, usually I had preached in that church several years in a row. So normally my night is Saturday night, you know. But this time they asked me to speak on Friday night. Typically, I don't travel the same day I speak. I try not to. But you know, I work with you, you know. So I had agreed. I said, I'm fine with it as long as you get me in early enough to kind of rest a little bit, you know, and then so I can, get, you know, tighten up all my loose ends for what the Lord want me to say, yada, yada. We did. So I was sitting there in the airport reading, got on the plane, and I noticed that, okay, the cabin door is closed, and nothing is happening. So I'm thinking, okay, let's go now. I don't want no stuff now. I'm not in the mood for no stuff. But anyway, so I'm just sitting there. So I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, pray in tongues. So I began to pray softly in tongues, just praying in tongues. Then the pilot came on and said, oh, folks, we apologize. We're going to take off soon here. Maybe it'll take us 15, 30 minutes, but there's something wrong with the plane. But the mechanics are on their way. We're going to be fine. They think it's something minor. Da, 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 da. I said, okay. So I'm still praying in tongues. And so I'm praying in tongues, but I hear a conversation. I'm on an aisle seat, which normally I ask for if I can get an aisle seat. Then across the aisle, I kind of hear a conversation, but I can't make out the words. So I'm just praying in tongues. And so then 30 minutes, I look at about 30 minutes, so a little bit more maybe. And he said, oh, the mechanics are here now. We should be taking off shortly. Okay, fine. Okay, come back on. Oh, people, apologize. It's not one. They thought it was one thing, but it's not that. They think it's whatever it was. So they have to go back and get some equipment. They'll be back. Should be take us maybe maximum another 30 minutes. So I'm praying in tongues. Now I'm hearing this conversation, and I'm praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, it's not nothing wrong with the plane. It's a person. So now watch this. So now if you get in your head, like my mind went crazy. Because I said, oh, God, I was looking for who was the terrorist so I could put him in a headlock and rouse him down to the floor. Because I, oh, my God, a terrorist on this plane. Because God said, it's not a plane, it's a person. So if you get in your head, you can miss God. Because I was looking for the person that looked suspicious so I can do a headlock on him and rouse him in that floor of that plane, you know. That's what my head was going crazy, but my heart was still praying in tongues. So I decided, I think I better hook back up with my tongues because, you know, it was about to go down, you know. And so I'm just praying in tongues. So the Lord said again, it's nothing wrong with the plane. It's a person. And as he said this to me, the conversation over here gets clear. And this gal was over there, and I know she had a young child with her. And she said, now, look, I'm tired of this. I'm fed up. Every time I get on a plane, something happens to it. The last one I was on, da-da-da-da, and it was bad. It nearly crashed, she said, something like stupid like that. And she said, my child has special needs, and he has an appointment in Nashville, and we're not going to make it out. She said, I'm going to make them let me off this plane. She said, I'm going to make them let me off here, because every time I get on a plane, this happens to me every time. That's what she said. So I just kept praying in the Holy Ghost, because I thought, wow, okay. So I kept praying in the Holy Ghost. So she did. She got up, and I saw her up there talking with the flight attendants. So they did. They let her off. I'm telling you, it was so orchestrated, so in sync. The time she exited that plane, the people, mechanics arrived again, and that pilot came on and said, well, folks, we apologize. It was nothing wrong with the plane after all. We'll take off. See, the Lord wanted her off there, and I was the one to get her off there. Just like he wants you to get them off your, get them out of your neighborhood or whatever. Get them out of our government. But you got to pray in the Holy Ghost and hear God. And then not get in your head. I didn't go, Lord, I bind every terrorist on this plane. I didn't do that. Because that's not what he said. He said, keep praying in the Holy Ghost. And I prayed softly. But it was another trip I went on. I prayed loud and forceful. Didn't I, Mary Lou? Because I called Mary Lou to pray with me. Because I was headed to Detroit to preach. And I was supposed to get there that night. And I missed my dinner, but I missed the dinner at the pastor's house. It was my first time me preaching for this pastor. But I went, because they said, okay, we're going to have to deplane, and y'all going to have to fly out tomorrow. And I know that wasn't going to happen. And I called Mary Lou. I said, in the name of Jesus, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. And I prayed loud, and I prayed radical. And sure, they were looking at me with some with disgust. Some was like, oh, my God. The flight attendant was looking at me, but I got louder. I was like blind Bartimaeus. I cried even louder. I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and I didn't care who heard me. I said, in the name of Jesus, Mary Lou, this plane is taking off today. I refuse to be deplaned. I refuse to fly out tomorrow. I'm getting to Detroit tonight. Shaka bro katarama. And they all was turning around. They thought I was a mad woman, and I was mad, but that's why I was praying in the Holy Ghost, because I was ready to take off. And I prayed, 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 because he told us, there's on a certain time that FAA will let you stay on that runway. Then you have to deplane. It's a federal law. And I said, oh, no, the devil is a liar. And I said, Mary Lou, let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. And I don't know what happened. I just got caught up in the spirit. But after a while, I know they came on and said, okay, we barely missed it. Within minutes, where they were going to send us back. And we took off. I got hung up with Mary Lou. I laid my head back on my chair. And I went to sleep. And I got to Detroit. Watch this. Now watch God. Because the devil said, you just made a fool out of yourself. Look at those people. And someone was up there complaining to the flight attendant. She was scared to say anything to me. Because, in fact, when I saw her come, I closed my eyes and prayed in tongues louder. Because I said, oh, no, you ain't going to mess with me because I'm getting to Detroit. And, honey, I was sitting there, and I decided, you know, I already missed the dinner, so I'm going to just let everybody, because people had to make connecting flights. And so they had asked us, that those people that are making connecting flights, this is your destination. So I did. I just stand there minding my own business. So after a while, I felt this on my shoulder, and I turned around. I said, yes, sir, because I thought it was somebody messing with me. He said, thank you for getting us here. I said, what? He said, thank you for getting us here. Now watch this. He said, I don't know what you were saying, but I know you got us here. I'm telling you, that was a sign to an unbeliever.
Yes.
Refuse to let the devil do it. He can't handle you in tongues. He can't handle you, period. But he definitely can't handle you in tongues. He doesn't have an answer for nothing that Jesus has provided for us. But we don't use it. So he gets advantage of us. That's why the Bible says don't let him get advantage of you. No, you ain't gonna make me deplane and fly out tomorrow. That was a 24-hour fast supposed to start. And I was gonna start then. And I knew then I needed some extra help, so I called Mary Lou. Because I know Mary Lou would just go with the flow. She ain't gonna talk, well, ask me a question. Now, what you say? You said to say what? No, just pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's what she did. Because, see, she does that all the time. I didn't have to explain to her. In fact, I wouldn't if you asked me. But she going to have to go into a whole, now, what you say? They what? What do you think now? When? So if you fly tomorrow, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to hang up on you. I want somebody that know God, know the Holy Ghost, and just come on, let's pray. On. And he can work out all that, work that out in the spirit. I don't know how to pray as I ought to. All I know is I'm getting to Detroit tonight. And that gentleman said he was there for a job thing, and he had to be there. He thanked me. He was serious. He was red in his face. And I know there were some closet Christians on there ready to persecute me if I had got in trouble. But see, God would never have let you down. You can't get in fear. But all you have to do is follow God. Now, on the other flight, I knew I wasn't supposed to be loud and radical. I was just praying in tongues. No, strong. But you see, but people don't know. You get a shotgun at a roach. You know. And then you got a gorilla, a bear in your house, you got a fly swat. I mean, see, you don't know what weapon to use when.
My God.
That's true. Well.
How do you think I kept Joe alive?
Come on.
How do you think I did that?
Come on. What you say?
How did I keep Joe
what
alive?
You say? I know. But what you
did I say?
Remember what you said to him? I ain't burying you.
No, she was praying the Holy Ghost. You called me. You said, what's the word? And I said, it's Philippians 4:7. We ain't burying nobody. I'm going to. You said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to South Carolina. I'm bringing them home. I'm not burying anybody today.
Yeah. That's what she said. I told Joe, I ain't burying you.
I said to the Lord, I just lay back and I closed my eyes. I said, okay, there's a lot of scriptures in here. I need one. I only need one. And I heard my mouth speak. I didn't speak it. I heard it come up out of me. the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart.
That's Jesus.
When I jumped out of bed and I started praying. Peace will keep his heart. Peace will keep his mind. Peace will keep my heart. Peace will keep my mind. And I don't care who sent me anybody sent me a scripture, I erased it. Mm-hmm. I erased everybody's scripture. Mm-hmm. I called people and I said, get them off of Facebook. Stop talking. I don't hear nothing on this. I had my daughter get on. My daughter got on Facebook and said, you are violating HIPAA laws. She said, not really, but don't talk about it. Pulled my name out of people because they were tagging me. And I'm like, don't shut up. I don't need nothing from nobody. I got the word. You called me. I text Pastor Terry. She called me. This is what I'm standing on. She said, that's it? Okay. Pastor George was getting ready to go do film with Rick Rayner. And I told you what it was. You said, I'm on it. That's all I needed. I called my daughter. Called my son.
Did I give you 100 scriptures?
No. You said, what are you doing? You said, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I said, this is what it is. Same way I kept my son alive. Nobody dying in Iraq, and you're not losing your feet or your hands or anything else. And he went through an IED. That bomb blew up by him. I had the video of it. Yes. That bomb blew up by his Humvee. He had a concussive headache is all that happened. I saw that video. This man blew to the sky. My son got nothing because I had his boots by my door, and I said, you're coming back in, both feet going in those boots. I ain't burying nobody. I'm burying nobody. My kids will bury me. I am not burying my children. I'm not burying my children. I'm burying Joe. Nobody's dying today.
No.
And that's going. You got to go in the Holy Ghost and get that.
We're going to
walk around with 25 scriptures. Which one you'll use?
Yes.
I won.
Which one?
That's all I need.
Which one? No, I'm saying. Yeah. No, listen.
No, she's saying. See, which one?
Which one are you going to go to?
I heard Kenneth Copeland say, Mama, fix me some eggs. That's what I heard him say.
Because he didn't get in a hurry.
He got in low slow. He was low slow. That's when he was learning how to hear the direction that you needed. Then I got up from bed and I said, okay, I need to pack some wigs and some Mary Kay.
That's right.
I brought him home.
Because I never forget since she said, I'm not burying you.
Yeah, and they tried that stuff in the hospital. The nurse walks in, welcome to the world of heart disease and diabetes. I said, all right, so my husband said, get her out of here. I said, say nothing. The other lady said, I know we're in the Bible Belt, but you'll always have diabetes.
No.
I said, just tell me what you want us to do. Thank you. We'll follow instructions. Thank you. He left there with 7 medications. In 1 year, he was off of everything. In 4 months, he was off of diabetic medicine. Because, of course, he came home and he partnered with God, and he found out what causes this in your body. So he cut this, he cut that, and today he's not on any medication. We're coming up to 5 years after that heart attack. And he's down to, he's almost my weight. We ain't playing this.
He got muscles. He got muscles. So I see him back there.
You see?
But just don't mess with him when he cooking, right, Cynthia?
I go mess
with him because I forget.
He'll throw you out the kitchen.
I'm working, right, and so I forget lunch, and I be wanting eggs, and they out of them. So I'm like, Joe, please borrow me some eggs. Hold up, you know, he get nervous. Wait.
Lunch is over. Okay.
Yeah. Then he'll go, okay, how many eggs you want? Because I forget, I'm working. And next thing I know is, you know, it's 12:30 going on 1 o'clock.
He told me the same thing.
Yeah. He says, Cynthia told me
I'm
one day.
I'm working on something here in the kitchen. What do you want? Nothing. I'm leaving.
She was there one day, and I was trying to get something. She said, oh, God, I can't bother him right now. She was trying to help me out.
I don't talk to him now.
That's funny. So, but the prophet said, what about 2019? What about 2019? How can the marvels and the wonders work take place? What brings these wonderful works and miracles? Oh, there they were working the wonderful works of God. What causes these things to be manifest? First of all, there must be a higher order of prayer coming forth out of the family. Intercession, petition, supplication. For the lost, much prayer, much calling forth, much calling things that be not as though they were. Praying for the lost. Now listen, I don't know. I'm not proposing to know what that higher order is, but I know it ain't going to be a higher order without more praying in tongues. And then he goes down and he talks about on the next page our nation. You will begin to see the desired change begin to slowly take place in the United States in the political arena. You will begin to see change when you begin to pray and intercede for those that are on the opposite side of your political ideas. And he talked about calling people names out. You know, our leaders, the president, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Then he goes on to talk about days of reconstruction. And that's where I want the platform to be. Because, baby, once you get over in tongues, we do some reconstructing. He said, these are the days of reconstruction. These are the days in the continuing rebirth of the United States. These are the days that this nation has been crying out for. Once again, it will become one nation under God. And you're not as far away as you think so. So rejoice and be glad. But the days of reconstruction. So let's take some time in tongues for the next 10, 15 minutes and reconstruct.
Babose, Carada Babose, Carada Babose, Carabambra, Carada Babose, Carada Babose, Carabaca Shata, Caraba Babose, Kete Babranda, Carada Babose, Kete, Yea, Corona Bose, Kete, Ora de Rebecca, Ora Bocosha Cara, Ayara Cosha Rebecca, Ora Bocora Babaranda, Ara Bacasa, Stella Rebecca, Sister Rebecca. Oro Rebecca, Shaka Tara Bacana Bacana, Arabo Dora Bende, Rebecca, Sister Rebecca, Sister Abba, Oro Boko, Shako, Dora Boko, Seca, Rekada, Oranana Rakaya Rakata, Orada Raya Katara, Raya Katara Baka, Yara Boko Shak, Yara Gedo Raba, Yara Bokora, Yara Yaya Yaya Yaya, Oro Boko Sete, Arabo Kose, Stella Rebecca, Sister. Erebo kose sterebe. Erebo kose sterebe kese sterebe kese. Orebe keshata. Orebe keshata. Orebe keshata. Orebe keshata. Erebo kose sterebo kose. Orebe keshata. Erebo rakata kaka. Rakata kaka kaka. Rakata kaka bakasa. Uproot it now. Uproot now. Uproot now. Ha ha. Oh, turn now. Turn now. Uproot and tear down. Uproot and tear down now. Uproot and tear down. Amaku rakarokaba. Oh, rakut. Raka sheke teke de bakada. Oh, oh, the voice now. The voice of the Lord now. The voice of the Lord constructs. The voice of the Lord is full of power. The voice of the Lord constructs now. Oh, and it reconstructs. Oh, oh, yeah, I see that, Lord. I see that. It's the voice of the Lord that reconstructs and constructs. Hala broko celebrata ya na na na. Hala breke tara bora ba da da. Hala breke ke 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 da. Oh, raka ka 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 ka. Oh, raka ka 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 ka.
Jesus,
Oh,
Higher now, tongues of fire. Higher with tongues of fire. Higher with tongues of fire. Higher with tongues of fire.
The enemy's not going to remove you out of this place. For any reason. Because not too many people give themselves to praying in tongues. Because it's a work. It's a work against your flesh and your soul. And your time. What you just said by the Spirit of God, he owumba ikamba akituli. I heard the Holy Ghost say, Brother Copeland, his glory, Pastor Rosen Terry. I seen it 2014 when I would come in here and lead prayer. Miracles, signs and wonders. I never knew the day I would need a creative miracle. These two little ladies here for the last year. Last February, I went 7 days a week in the nursing home, hospital, everywhere. I'd come home feel like hell and all that negative stuff. I'd come home, we'd pray. They'd come to my home, them and some others. They're not here today. I did it for over a year. We still did some.
My.
And the word he gave me, I didn't know I would ever need it. I wouldn't want it when I heard it. Darlene, with the word creative miracles. I said, oh, that church is going to begin to see creative miracles. That's what I thought, but I didn't know I was going to need one. I got it in my phone. Kevin sent it to me. Brother Copeland, I think it was 2016 or 18. Look at my phone. He's preaching on limbs, the maim. He sent it to me. And thank. But anyway, I'm going to share this two or three times when at the beginning, when James had the spinal cord injury, he finally got hurt, couldn't move, it paralyzed him, couldn't move. He asked God three times to take him home because he's on a morphine pump, morphine every 30 minutes. He didn't tell me at first because James is quiet. He keeps things to himself. I didn't even know when he really fell and got hurt, except one time I knew he was hurt. He said, Lord, take me home or heal me. He said, not time yet. I'm not taking you home. You got a work to do, and you got a work to do with your family. And then he moved. We'd been in many safer places. He was in a coma. I walked in, and they said, your husband is deteriorating. I said, no, he's not. they told Pastor Gene. Pastor Gene said the Lord sent him there to read the Bible, the scriptures. He said, I told him, he's brain dead. I said, no, he's not. Jesus came to the end of his bed. I let him tell his own stories one day. Like Jeannie Shirley said, it wasn't just to take you out, Shirley, your husband out. It was for you, too.
Yes.
But I didn't stop praying in tongues. I might did it at home, but it didn't stop, did it, girl? That's why I'm still in my right mind. That's why my husband's still alive. Because he should have been dead. The way he fell and all the bones went into his neck and paralyzed him. He's changed. He's changed. He wanted to have nothing to do with the ministry. And he sits and worships God and prays in tongues. He's changed. I thought you had to go through hell to change. We will see it, Mary. I don't know when or how. I tried to make it happen. I'm not the healer. I can't make it happen. But I said, God, show me. I don't know a lot about creating miracles. Teach me about healing going through this. Because there is a healing only in our family.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
Oh, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he took me to Lazarus. And he said, well, Shirley, that's a creative miracle. He was dead 4 days. I said, show me in the Word. You got to prove it to me. Where is creating miracles at? I want to see it. I want to know. I want to have something to stand on. Because he only gave me one scripture, like he did. He only gave me one for James. He never would give me nothing else. Then Jeremiah, mm-hmm. I'll restore health to you, and I will heal you your wounds. Because he got wounds to the bone. And during this time, I'm going to share this briefly. Probably send you on Brian's Facebook, then I'll let you go.
Okay, I'm good.
You can't make things happen when the favor of God's upon you. Can't. I guess it was through they seen Brian. It was Jessica Benihan's daughter. She got a hold of Brian. She said, my dad's coming to town. Can I reserve you and your family seats? First time he took us to the back, he called us out. I thought, who are we? This man has stood in platforms on nations of the earth, known like Brother Copeland, like healing and prosperity and faith. This man is like a healing general, like Oral Roberts. Now it's him. Some others too. The second night, the second time we went, and he took us into the back room, 3 or 4 hours he gave us of his time and told us the do's and don'ts of ministry. And he told us personally what he's done wrong. I thought, my God, how did I get in this room with him? Me and Mary Jo and Kid Brian and Kid Miller. But James wasn't there. It was like it was bittersweet. I wanted my husband there. We were there, but where's James? In the hospital. You learn to trust him when you go through hell when you still stand.
That's right.
And you learn to fight. So just don't get in my face. If the devil gets in my face, he's going to get out of the place.
Amen. Amen.
I had no tolerance for that. I had no tolerance for ignorance. I had no tolerance for gossiping or rolling your eyes. I ain't got no time for that.
Amen.
It's time to be serious. Because the devil doesn't play fair. He's after your gifts and your callings and your anointings, you too.
Refuse to give it to him.
Because he does hate intercession. Intercession, he hates it. A lot of people pray, there's not intercession. It's a difference. and it creates in you a heart of God. When you're a true intercession, you become like him, Jesus. It creates that inside of you, who you're praying through. Created a love in me, a deeper love. He says, because you don't have to have that love for what I called you to do. Because you have people lie on you, criticize you, but you just love them, go on. Because they can't see my heart. They don't really know me. They know of me, but they don't know me.
They don't
That's
know.
Right.
Yeah.
Say what you want, you just don't know. I know her a little bit. She knows me a little bit. I met her in 97 when no one knew her. Pray with her when nobody wanted to pray with her.
Come on, let's tell it like
me and Brian and Kevin and James.
That's right, that's right.
Still here. I don't know why I'm still here. Mm-hmm. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, thank you for bringing your supply.
Now, Brother Copeland said prayer is going to have to go to a higher place to see what we need to see. Mm-hmm. It's only through intercession. Mm-hmm. And by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way you're going to get us there. The way you can't work it up.
Mm-mm.
You can't confess it up. You can't talk it up.
Mm-mm.
It's by the power of the Holy Spirit.
It's by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord. I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing us. Praise the Lord. Awesome. But you see how you kept going. In the beginning, some of you guys were struggling. But if you'll practice this at home, it'll be easy for you. It'll be easier for me and us up here, too. But I'm out of time. I'm over into Dr. Overstreet Healing School time, so we need to close. And so if you would, so kindly, if you're going to fellowship, because you know, Christian, we love the fellowship, would you just take it outside because we already over time. Thank you.